Good morning, everybody. Glad to see all of you. There are worksheets. Did everybody get a worksheet? If you want a worksheet, you don't have to have one, but we have them if you would like it. We are studying Ezekiel. Just got into it last week. Was that just a week ago? All right.
There's a lot in Ezekiel.
There's a lot. Well, join the crowd. I know it all, so I'll explain it to you. I was expecting to hear some giggles when I said that. I didn't hear any giggles. That scared me if you think I know it all. But that's, to me, that's part of the fun and excitement of studying the Bible is you get into something and you don't always understand exactly what it's saying. But the exciting thing is, while you're in there, you know you're going to see something that's going to help you figure some of it out at least.
And I said to myself, everyone, every verse I was reading that I didn't understand this week, I would say to myself, Marty will explain it.
Well, I appreciate that vote of confidence. A corrected version of that would be, Marty will talk about this. Because I'll talk about all the stuff without necessarily claiming to understand and be able to explain, but we'll get into it. There's always ways of looking at things that you will wonder about, and you will hypothesize and say, I think it means this. It looks like it's pointing in this direction. And that's another great thing about Bible study. No one thing in the book stands on its own. It's all connected. And you see themes, and you see ideas that are carried through, and you see principles. So even if you don't know the detail, you know it's going to fit into something, into the big picture. That's right. And there's always a bigger picture. One thing I want to say, and I plan to say it when I, Lord willing, I get up to preach in a little while. I will never send you a text and ask you for money. And even if I lose my mind, and I do, it will never be Pastor Marty. So, write that down somewhere. Yeah. And now, of course, we think what happened was somebody hacked our website and got that information, which is why you know that when you would get on there before, if you were a member, you could go deeper than regular folks, and you had the credentials to do that. Well, now all that's been wiped off, so we'll all have to get back in. I was trying yesterday on my phone. I thought, oh, I need some information about something as I'm sitting in class, and tried to get on the website. Oh, I don't have. Anyway, so all that's got to be gone through again. I don't know about you. When I do things online, I am so sick of the computer telling me that's the wrong password. Even worse than that is that email is already in use. And I was like, that's me. That's because I'm trying to use it. I'm sorry. That's just my... That's technology, but it's technology with sin. Sin is the reason all these things give us troubles. If it weren't for people doing things that were wrong, you wouldn't even have to lock your door at night. You could park your car anywhere, any time of the day, walk across a whole parking lot. You ladies, I know it's, guys are different. We don't think too much about that. But ladies, think about, well, how far is it from my car to the door? And who's going to be watching to make sure I'm all right? Yeah. That's all sin. It's all sin. That's the reason we have a book in the Bible called Ezekiel. If it wasn't for sin, this would never have needed to be written. Ezekiel would never have needed to receive these prophecies. And so the fact that we have people lying to us today, trying to cheat us today, is evidence that what God did through Ezekiel is nothing new at all. It's all the same stuff. And it's God trying to save us in spite of ourselves. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And you know that's not true either. review. That's the first part of the worksheet. The 10 northern tribes of Israel had been overrun by the nation of, who knows, Assyria, A-S-S-Y-Iria. A-S-S-Y-R-I-A, Assyria, in 722 B.C. About 120 years or so later, in 606 B.C., the nation of blank attacked Judah. Who knows? Babylon, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar attacked Judah. The 10 northern tribes were referred to as Israel. They were taken captive out of the picture. Because of their sin, their idolatry, in 722, and Judah followed suit in 606 by their same sins Israel was doing, and Babylon came on them in 606. Ezekiel was a, you can say prophet, but that's pretty obvious. What else was he according to the first three verses? He was a priest. He was a priest. Ezekiel was a priest. The number blank evidently refers to Ezekiel's blank. Well, that's a hard one, huh? But it's right there in the first three verses. The number 30. The number 30 evidently refers to Ezekiel's age. Yes. Yes, we did. I don't know if you remember, but last week we looked at a couple passages in Numbers, at least referred to them. I don't remember now if we actually went there and looked at them. But that's where God was giving Moses the instructions for those who serve as priests. They were to begin at what age? The age of 30. You start your priestly service at the age of 30. And then later you would retire at the age of 50. That's a great deal, isn't it? When are you going to start work? Oh, when I'm 30. When are you going to retire? Oh, 20 years, be good, when I'm 50. But that's God's law for the priesthood. So Ezekiel says in the 30th year, and then he doesn't say what he means by 30th year. He just says in the 30th year, and we're left to figure out what that means. Well, apparently it's talking about his age because he is a priest. It says he's a priest, and that's when priests would start their ministry. And here's God calling Ezekiel not to serve necessarily as a priest per se, but now as a prophet. And in his prophecy, he will be also serving as a priest in a sense. All right, next bullet point. Ezekiel was among the blank. And this is all in the first three verses. He was among the exiles. He was among the exiles in the nation of Babylon. Babylon, by the river Kebar, however you want to pronounce it. There were blank deportations of Jews to Babylon. Three. All right, three deportations of Jews to Babylon. And there are the dates, 606, 597, and 596. That'll be on the test. And Ezekiel was likely among the blank group. Second group. And just for funsies, who was among the first group? Daniel. Who else? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Those four were in the first group. What a nation would do back in the day, they would conquer a people and they would find out, well, who are the best leaders and who are the smartest people, who are the most capable ones? Let's take them back to our nation and use their abilities and gifts. And that's why those guys were taken, those young men. All right, Ezekiel's claims in the first three verses. He says, the blank were opened, and he saw visions of, what's the first blank? The heavens. The heavens were opened, and he saw visions of God. That's quite a claim, isn't it? And yet, those who received this written prophecy in the day didn't say, oh, that never happened. They recorded it. They preserved it. This became part of their scripture, part of their writings that they consider to be the Word of God. He said, the blank of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to him. That's in keeping with the first claim. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God, and the word of God came to me. Ezekiel is claiming without any apology or explanation. The word of the Lord came to him, and that the blank of the Lord was upon him. The hand. What does that mean, the hand of the Lord's upon him? That means God's going to do something with him, lead him, give him information. God's hand is there guiding everything. All right. Now let's get into some more text. Last week we just got into the first three verses. Let's do some more reading this morning. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Let's do a 4 through 14 to start with. Who wants that? Anybody want to read? I'll read. Okay, Matt's got it. 4 through 14, and then we'll pick up from there.
As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire as it were gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings on their four sides they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings. Thus their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had a face of an ox on the left side. And the four had a face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit would go, they went without turning as they went. As for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning.
Thank you, Matt. Well, have you got a clear picture in your mind what these things look like? If you do, explain it to me, because I don't. I have ideas. I've got elements, but I can't quite see it. And that's the way it is with words. You ever go someplace or see something and you try to describe what it is, and you know your words aren't sufficient to give them a full view of what you're seeing. But what is it that we can see? What is it that we can understand from what Ezekiel is telling us? And keep in mind, what does he say in the very first verse? What does he tell us he's seeing? Visions of God. That's what he tells us in the very first verse. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. That's how Ezekiel starts this work, this writing. And so this is his beginning to tell us of his vision of God. How many creatures? Well, let's answer the questions. Answer the questions, Marty. And we're just going to do some of these because we didn't read all through the complete text. A storm wind from the... Now, why the north? It doesn't say. Ezekiel doesn't explain. But if you look at the geography, the land was such that if you want to invade Israel, just as Assyria did and just as Babylon did, you don't come straight across, because there's some very hostile ground between Israel and Babylon and Israel and Assyria coming straight across. So you go up to the north and then you come down. And so you're coming down to invade from the north. That's the way it typically worked. And so that may be why Ezekiel says, I look to the north. And what do you see? Storm. An awesome storm as he describes it. So back to number one there, with at one point, or chapter 1, verse 4. A storm wind from the north, a cloud encompassed in blank, in light. A cloud encompassed in light with continual blank flashing forth. Fire, a cloud encompassed in light with continual fire flashing forth. Now, when we see clouds like we've been seeing them recently, what color are they? Storm clouds are dark, normally dark. Did you go out yesterday, by the way, and look up into the sky, and before it got stormy, they were awesome. I mean, when you look up and God's sun is shining on his clouds, and you're seeing it at the right, it's like, whoa, that's like the glory of God. What's that?
Throw in a rainbow.
Yes, throw in a rainbow. You're getting ahead of us now. So it doesn't say what color the cloud was, just says it was like a storm cloud with light and flashes of fire coming from the north. Number two, in the midst of the cloud was something like blank metal, glowing metal, glowing metal in fire. Number three, and this is verses 5 through 10. There were four beings with human form, yet each one had four blanks, wings or faces, either one, because it's four next in the next blank. Whatever you put in the first one, put the other in the second one. Wings, faces, faces, wings. As well as a blank beside each one of them, which we haven't gotten to yet. That's verse 15. I don't know why I threw that in. Getting ahead of myself. But what to say in verse 15 that there was beside each one of them? A wheel. Do you know any songs that come from Ezekiel? Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. I think isn't it Journey that has a song about the wheel in the sky keeps on turning? Don't know where I'll be tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds kind of biblical. Where was Ezekiel? Was he home? He wasn't home. Where was he? He was in a foreign nation. What nation? Babylon. Who was with him? The other exiles, a bunch of Jews who weren't supposed to be there. That's why I subtitled this class, "What Are We Doing Here?" Well, God sent the Babylonians because you were evil and wicked and idolatrous and hateful towards each other, and so he sent the Babylonians, and now you're in Babylon. What are you going to do now? Where are you going to wait 70 years and then go back? Okay, getting ahead of myself here. But that's the way this is going to work out. Where are we here? Four faces as well as a wheel beside each of them. Wings, faces, and wheel. That's what goes in those blanks. Regarding the faces, each one had the face of a blank. What's the first one mentioned? Face of a man. You got the face of a man. The face of a blank on the right, lion, and a blank on the left, a bull or an ox, depending on your translation. Another face they had was that of an eagle. Where was that face? I don't know. But four faces. Number four. This is chapter 1, verse 12 and 20. Wherever the blank was about to go, they would go. Spirit. Wherever the Spirit. It's interesting to me. You know, we're studying the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings. Got another lesson lined up. Good Lord willing, I get to preach that one in a little while. But the Spirit is not named except to say it is the Spirit of God. And there's not a whole lot of explanation. It just says, here's what Ezekiel saw. These four beings with four faces and four wings And wherever the Spirit was going to go, that's where they, wait a minute, what Spirit? Well, the Spirit. What Spirit? Spirit of God. Number five, notice the repetitive mention of such elements as, and we're going to go a little farther past what we have read. We'll come back and read that too in a little bit. Number one, or chapter 1, verse 4, a great cloud with blank flashing forth. Fire, okay, we've already read that. We talked about it. Blank metal in the midst of the fire. Glowing metal in the midst of the fire. Number, chapter 1, verse 7, their hooves gleamed like burnished bronze. So we got fire and glowing and gleaming. Chapter 1, verse 13, in the midst of the beings was something like blank coals. Burning coals. What do burning coals look like? They're bright red, bright orange. They glow. That's what you want to find at your campfire when you wake up in the morning. Oh, we still got some coals. That'll be easy to make another fire. Throw a little kindling on there and blow on it, and you got a fire. Glowing coals. Also, that's how you work metal. You don't need the flames. You need glowing coals, and you can put that metal down into the glowing coals, and what happens to that metal? It takes on that heat, and it begins to glow and to soften and become moldable and pliable. And you just reach in there with your hand and grab it. Right. I remember that, anybody else see that episode of Bonanza? I'm talking to some people who might have seen Bonanza. That's the Western they used to have on TV. And three or four guys came into a blacksmith shop, and the blacksmith had just pulled a horseshoe out of the fire and set it off to the side. The fellow saw it and grabbed it and threw it down real fast. And the blacksmith said, "What's the matter? Was it hot?" He said, "No, it just doesn't take me long to look at a horseshoe." I always thought that was funny. All right. Burning coals of fire like blanks darting back and forth. Like torches darting back and forth. The fire was blank and blank was flashing from the fire. Fire was bright and lightning was flashing from the fire. All right?
Has it rained?
The flood. What flood? Oh, sure. By Ezekiel's time? Oh, yeah, long ago. This is way after the flood. All right. Last bullet point on this side of the page. Chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. The living beings moved like blank of blank. Like bolts of light or lightning. And the appearance of the wheels was like blank beryl. Sparkling beryl. When our second daughter Christy was 4 or 5 years old, somehow Debbie got her some shoes with glitter on them. And I'll always remember till the day I die, she talked about her Parkley shoes. They're Parkley. This part of this vision of the wheels, they were sparkling like beryl. Anybody familiar with beryl? There are a lot of precious stones used in this imagery. Beryl is, it can have color, but the best quality beryl, the highest quality beryl was clear, or is clear. And so you imagine this gemstone that's perfectly clear, but it sparkles and it's fiery. It's all connected with light and lightning and glowing. All right, back page. Chapter 1, verse 22. Above the beings was something like an expanse, like the awesome blank of crystal. The awesome gleam. Do you remember the toothpaste named Gleam? Do they still make that? Used to have a commercial. And what would happen when that person on the commercial would smile at the end of the commercial? Sparkles come out of their mouth. Just a little. That's what Gleam toothpaste would do for you. That's what they're trying to say. Didn't work for me like that. Chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. The one who sat upon the throne from his loins and upward was like blank, blank, glowing metal. Glowing metal that also looked like blank all around it. Fire. Glowing metal and fire all around it. From his loins downward, he was like blank. Fire. And there was a blank about him, a radiance about him, like the appearance of a There you go, Alan. There's your rainbow. He had a radiance like the appearance of a rainbow. Isn't a rainbow a wonder? You see one, and its intensity, it's just, it's a wonder. God's sign that he's never going to do what? Never going to flood the earth again. And for people to take that wonder of God and to make it an image of something he calls abomination. What is God going to do? All right. Ezekiel is seeing the blank of the Lord. Glory of the Lord. This is from chapter 1, verse 28. And he blanks on his blank. Falls on his face. And then we'll start chapter 2 where God speaks to Ezekiel. But what I want you to do is go back to the first part of these bullet points. And just look at what you are putting in the blanks. This is number 5 in the bullet points as you go through the blanks. Fire, glowing, gleamed, burning, torches, bright, lightning, bolts of lightning, sparkling, gleam, glowing metal, fire, fire again, radiance like a rainbow. The glory of God. This is no mistake that this repetition is in the text. God wants us to see through what Ezekiel says, his glory. And we're going to read a lot about his glory later on. And what's going to happen to Jerusalem? We'll see God's glory at the door of the temple. And then what will God's glory do? It will rise and go away. God's glory is here, and a Jewish person might read this and, whoa, this is our God. Yeah, well, your God is going to leave you in a while because of the way you've been behaving. You better take this all into account. Let's go to verse 26 of chapter 1. We're going to read every verse in Ezekiel. But we need to read enough to get a good idea of what's going on. Who wants to read 26 through 28? All right, Judy.
Now above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that, which resembled a throne, high up, there was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his waist and upward something that gleaming metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, there was a radiance around him, like the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking.
It's like a dramatic opening. I don't know that there would ever be a more dramatic opening in history than this right here. Very first verse, Ezekiel says, I saw visions of God. And he goes through all this detail about starting at the bottom, the four living creatures with the four wings and the four faces and the expanse above them. And now he's telling us about that expanse. What's on top of that expanse? Something like a throne. And high above that, what's he see? It looks like a man. This is an image of someone who looks like a man. God relates to us. What did he tell us about his creation of man and woman in the beginning? We are made in his image. And yet Jesus says God is not flesh and bones. He is a spirit. Does a spirit have an image? He's got something. And whatever God has, we are created in his image. But this is Ezekiel the prophet, the man looking up and seeing visions of God. And what he sees is something that looks like him. It's relatable. Even those who are, it looks like the four creatures are bearing up this throne. But what's the throne on? The expanse. Like they're bearing up this expanse. What do those four creatures look like? They have a human form. Yeah, they got four faces. That's kind of strange. But what's the first face? Face of a man. So these are beings, creatures, that are servants of God, and we're just trying to figure out how all this relates to us. Paul?
I don't have a scriptural basis for this, but I always thought that spiritual beings can manifest themselves in whatever form they want for that situation. If I think of, you know, when some of the apostles saw Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah, they didn't know what they looked like, and yet somehow they were able to identify him and say, hey, we're going to build temples for them. I think it's a question. It's not a. It's a ponder. I can't say this is what it is, but I feel like maybe it's plausible that they can manifest themselves in whatever physical sort of likeness.
And can you think of any examples in Scripture where God manifested Himself in a way that He wanted to? I think about the burning bush. God spoke to him from the burning bush. How did He meet with Abraham out in the desert? Well. Looked like three men. Just he saw them coming, and he went to Sarah. Hey, get some food ready. We got travelers coming. Just looked like men. He didn't say, "Oh, we got angels coming." The man that what was Samuel's dad's name? Samuel's parents. That was Hannah's husband. Anyway, okay, there's your research question for next week. But they saw an angel. The angel was telling them that they would have a son, which is interesting. I always come back to that. All the other judges, God selected people who were existing. But Samson, he said, I'm going to give you a son. So he starts in the womb with this particular judge. So you might think, oh, God starts in the womb. He's going to be the most holy guy there is. Well, no, he's the most scoundrelly type guy. He's like a biker. That's how I picture Samson. He's... you know, wearing leather, hanging out with harlots. And, well, anyway, that was just interesting how God does things. It's like, God, you're going to do that? Oh, yeah, it's the best way to do it, man. What's wrong with you? I'm God, aren't I? Oh, yeah, forget that sometimes. Titus?
These particular spiritual beings are given names in Ezekiel 10 as cherubim.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
And so not to say that they cannot manifest themselves in any way, but they have a specific title and a specific duty. And we first read about them in Genesis chapter 3, guarding the way to the tree of life. And so to have it described as the glory of God, to see that that is what, these are the particular things that God has chosen to guard the way to the tree of life. And to then be described as the glory of God, I think that it's pretty cool. All these years later, you know, we talked about, Miss Judy had mentioned, or you had mentioned that the flood was way after this. Well, even before the flood, there's cherubim.
Sure.
They're doing great things, and now here in Ezekiel, we're seeing an image of them and getting to put a face with the duty that they've been given, and then the adjective that's given is glory of God. I think that that's super cool.
It is cool. And remember, always keep in mind, we live in time. Eternity is a completely different thing than time. This universe didn't exist at one point until God spoke it into existence. But before the universe, there were cherubim and there were seraphim. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6, briefly. And every time I do this now, studying Ezekiel, I think, yeah, you can't go back to another book because Ezekiel's too long. We've got too much to cover. But the more you can see, like what Titus is talking about, that these creatures have names and they are servants of God, and they've always been servants of God, apparently. This is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, and this is what Bible writers do all the time. They don't just throw something out there. They'll say, here's something you can hang this on. Here's a historical date in the year of King Uzziah's death. And people who read this for the first time would say, oh yeah, I remember that when that happened. And okay, I know exactly when he's talking about. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Oh, another throne, lofty and exalted. Oh, more lofts and more exalting, with the train of his robe filling the temple. What stood above him? Seraphim. Wait a minute. I thought those things back in Ezekiel were under him. Well, they were. What were those things under him? What did Titus say they were? Cherubim. But what's above him? Seraphim. How many wings does a cherubim have? Four wings. How many wings does a seraphim have?
Six.
Oh, I can't keep up. We're seeing something that we have not been privy to before. And God says, let me just give you a little taste. Did he, by the way, here's a whole nother question. Did God send his son to save the cherubim or to save the seraphim? As far as we know, nothing of Jesus relates at all in that way to these creatures. As a matter of fact, what does he say? What does Peter say about the angels that fell, that disobeyed? Peter says they've been delivered into chains of darkness. But what about me and you? I'd be scared to death to meet a cherubim or a seraphim, either one. And yet God said, I'm sending my son down to save you. He's going to give his life in a horrible way, and I'm going to bring you to myself. Oh, wait a minute. You got cherubim and seraphim. What do you need me for? But what is it that really expresses the glory of God, the absolute wondrous glory of God?
Love.
And to love those who are least deserving of love. To be gracious to those who do not deserve grace, because that's the definition of grace. It can't be deserved or it's not grace. It's a debt. Mercy, to show mercy to those who deserve death. He has these creatures serving him in eternity. Seraphim above him, cherubim below him. His awesomeness is like a storm, and if a storm doesn't rattle you, you're not paying attention. And he says, I'm showing you this stuff because you've messed up, and I want you to turn around. I'm being patient. I'm being long-suffering. I want you to come back to me. That's his message to Israel, well, to Judah, to all those exiles. Why are these people in Babylon? Because the nation has been so evil. Why is God sending Ezekiel? Because he says, I still love you. I want to bring you back. I want to reestablish my nation. Why does God want to reestablish his nation in Jerusalem? He's got a plan. What is his plan? All of this has to do with Jesus. Always think of Jesus when you read these prophets. God has got a plan. Humans are always working against it. Even God's people are working against it. And he says, oh, I got it. What am I going to do with you guys? I'm sending you off into captivity. Well, I'm going to bring you back after 70 years because I'm going to bring my son into this world, and I'm going to do it through you. Kicking and screaming, I'm going to do it through you, you Jews. And then you Gentiles who look at the Jews, look down your nose at the Jews, I'm going to bring you into my kingdom kicking and screaming too, because that's how we live our lives. We're here today because we believe in God. But what are you going to do sometime this week? Probably before the day's over. You're going to think some thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking. You're going to do some things and say some things that you shouldn't do and shouldn't say. What's that? That's called sin. That's why We all have to change our passcodes or whatever it is to get back on the church website. It's sin. Well, I'm part of that too. And I want God to come down and smack that guy, whoever it was. But I'm a sinner too. So I got to be careful about asking his judgment to come on people who sin, because I'm one of those sinners. And this is Ezekiel. What, by the way, what did Isaiah say as soon as he saw that vision of God? This is back in Isaiah 6. We didn't get down to it. You remember what he said? First thing he said was, when he saw the vision of God and the glory of God, woe, woe is me. Why did he say woe is me? He said, I am a man of unclean lips. And where does he live? He lives in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This goes back to your question earlier, Brian, before class even started, about when did Israel depart from God? Well, they've been on the road to departure the whole time. When did they first go back into idolatry? Where was Moses? He was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. What were the Israelites doing down below? Making a golden calf. And what did Aaron say? Oh, I threw that gold in, this calf popped out. You liar. And you're going to be the first high priest. God, we don't have any hope at all. Oh, yeah, we do. Why? Because God's going to work his plan. And his plan involves Jesus. And Jesus is going to die for us. And not one of his apostles will be at the tomb on the third day. And I'm kind of glad of that, because that tells me there's hope for me. If those guys didn't have any more faith than that to be at the tomb on the third day, after all that, there might be hope for me. And that's the whole point of the Bible. God says, it's not just hope. It's a done deal. I paid for your salvation. You want to go on a cruise? Have you checked cruise prices lately? They have skyrocketed ever since COVID's kind of gone away. And if you like to go on cruises, if you want to go stay in a hotel somewhere, it's going to cost you a lot of money. And then these people come along that sell timeshares, and what do? Oh, we'll give you a three-day vacation. But what do you got to do to get that three-day vacation? Oh, you got to sit through a stinking lecture. God comes along and he says, I've got glory you can't even imagine. And I want you to be here with me. That's what Jesus said to his Father in John 17. He had been with those apostles, those stinking, no good, faithless apostles. He'd been with them for 3 years. And what does Jesus tell his Father? I want to show these guys. Go to John 17 before the bell rings. I want to show these guys the glory that we had. That's what Jesus wants to do with them and us as well. This is John chapter 17, verse 22. Jesus is praying to his Father just before he's arrested. The glory which you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. What does Jesus want them to see? What Ezekiel is seeing, what Isaiah saw, the glory of God will be in eternity. There won't be any time anymore. We'll just be in existence with God. Everything will be in harmony. Everything will be right. Won't be any more passwords. Hallelujah! You won't ever get the sign that comes up says, that's the wrong email address. Here and now, I want to reach through my computer and smack somebody. I won't want to do that there, because here I'm in the flesh. And the flesh is weak, and the flesh wants to do stuff that it shouldn't do. Won't it be a wonderful existence to be free of the burden of wanting to do things that shouldn't be done? That's why God is sending Ezekiel to the exiles to say, you're coming back. I'm bringing you back because I'm bringing my son. I'm going to save all of you no goods because I love you. And that's where we are. All right. Thank you for your kind attention this morning.